I'd like you to imagine today that John Greening called me this week, which he did, and we were talking. He said, "How are you doing, Rich?" And I said, "You know, John, it's really tough. I'm hemmed in on every side. I don't know which way to go. Besides that, everybody's trying to knock me down. And it's really tough. And if you could see me, John, you would recognize that my body is slowly decaying and dying. It's just taking the stress of this ministry is just destroying me." You know what I would have been saying? I would have been saying exactly what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth. When they said, "How you doing?" He said, "You know what? I'm hemmed in on every side. I'm perplexed. I don't know what way to go. I'm bewildered. I'm at bay. I don't know what to do. I'm hunted down. Every day there's somebody hunting me down and they're trying to destroy me. Besides that, it's taken a tremendous toll on my body." The Apostle Paul would say, "The outward man is perishing. It's just slowly decaying. It's just eating me alive. My mind isn't what it used to be, and my body isn't what it used to be. It is really, really tough." You say, "Whoa, Paul, don't be so negative. We're Christians. Things are great." He said, "Well, you didn't understand me. What I just gave was a testimony that should bring glory to God." No, that couldn't bring glory to God. Christians never end up in that realm. Well, let's read it, because the Apostle Paul wants to take you to the most negative, humiliating, difficult part of his life. You might feel sorry for him. You might think, "Whoa, he's really crying a sad sack song." He wants to take you there so that when you're done there, you can see the contrast, what's really true in his life and in your life. And it's a matter of contrast. We have earthen vessels, we are told in chapter 4 and verse 7, that bring glory to God. How can that be? How can that be? But it can be. So he has some contrast in verse 8 through verse 18 that help us to see the wonder of the glory of the ministry of Jesus Christ. But when you think about the wonder of the glory of the ministry of Jesus Christ, it does not mean it's never tough. It does not mean that it doesn't wear you out. It does not mean that you're never perplexed. Here's how he states it. First contrast, verse 8 and 9. Four participial phrases, contrasting things, trying to get you to see what it's like. On the one side, he says, "I'm hard-pressed." You understand what that means? It means to be hemmed in. It's the image of a combatant, some wrestlers or some people fighting. And as you're fighting, there's somebody who always blocks your move. He says, "You know what is true? I am hard-pressed." We are hard-pressed. As believers in Jesus Christ, somebody's always trying to block our move. Somebody's always trying to get us in the corner. Somebody's always trying to stop us from doing what we're supposed to do. And besides that, he says in verse 8, we are perplexed. That is to say, we don't know how to get out of this. We don't know how we're going to do this. It has a sense in which our mind is unable to comprehend where we can go and how we can get out of this movement of the enemy to destroy us and to hem us in. But it has more than that. I don't know how we're going to take care of this. I don't know how we're going to provide for this. I don't know where the resources are going to come. I don't know where the provisions are going to come. We are hard-pressed and we are perplexed. We're bewildered. We have no answers. And besides that, verse 9, we are persecuted, which is a word that means we're just hunted down. Somebody's always hounding us, which was true of Apostle Paul, as you know. Read Acts 17. From city to city to city to city to city to city. You know, he'd leave a city because they hounded him there. So he'd move to the next city and they hunted him down. They hounded him there. So he'd go to the next city and they'd hunt him down. They'd hound him there. And he went from city to city to city to city and he couldn't get away from them. He could never just have a nice, neat, clean ministry to people because there was always somebody hunting him down. He said, the truth is we are all hard-pressed as believers in Jesus Christ. We're all perplexed. We all come to the point where I don't know how we're going to go on. We always feel like there's somebody hunting us down. And their intention, according to verse 9, is to strike us down, to destroy us, to knock us down, to defeat us, stop us, show us that we're done. Paul said, that's what's true of me. That's my testimony to you today. And that's what's true of you. Do you feel sorry for him? Feel sorry for yourself? Oh, things are really bad. So, let me give you the contrast. Let me tell you the reality here. Here's the contrast. Here's the paradox, if you would, of Christian life. We're hard-pressed, and we're perplexed, and we're persecuted, and everybody's trying to knock us down. Yet, do you know what is true? We are hard-pressed, but verse 8 says we are never crushed. They're trying to box us in a corner. They're trying to hem us in. Every time we make a move, they make another move. Every time we do something, they try to do something to stop it. You know what? But they never get us in a corner. They never are able to shut us down. They are never able to corner us to the point that we cannot move. Oh, we are hard-pressed. People are always trying to squeeze us in some kind of a mode, but they can never get us in the corner. You say, why would God allow His people to be hard-pressed? He wants you and me to see the whole world's trying to press us in, but they'll never corner us. It will never, ever be able to shut us down and slow us up. We're hard-pressed, but we're not cornered. We're perplexed. We come to the end of our resources. We come to the end of our ability to carry on. We don't know how we're going to provide financially or physically. We don't know how we are going to come up with answers tomorrow. We are perplexed, but do you know what? We're never in despair. We come to the end of all of our resources. But we know there's a resource that's always going to be there that's going to carry us on. And you might feel sad for yourself when you say, I have no answers to how we're going to go on, except you realize we are never in despair because there's always a provision that's going to show up at the last moment and carry us on. We are persecuted. We are hunted down like a hound after a rabbit, just won't give up, just going after us, going after us, going after us. It was true of Paul. It's true of the saints through all the ages. But verse 9 says, we're never abandoned. God has promised He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He has said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In Matthew in chapter 10 and verse 23, He says, you will be persecuted. They're going to be after you. They're going to hunt you down. But I will always be there. And so we are hunted down. But guess what? God never once abandons us. Never leaves us to our own devices to get out of it. Besides that, we are struck down. They are doing everything they can to destroy us. Paul had a real personal encounter with that many, many times, the beatings as he records in the 11th chapter. And one time in Lystra, you remember that? They so struck him down, they all walked away, leaving him for dead. We are struck down. And you know what happened to Paul? He stood up and walked away. We are struck down, but we're never destroyed. We're never destroyed. He says, here's the paradox of Christian ministry. Why it's a glorious ministry. It's not because we have no difficulties. It's not because nobody's hunting us down. It's not because things aren't going bad some days. Here's the paradox. We have overwhelming difficulties. But we are never defeated. You say, why in the world would God put it this way? Why in the world would God call us to a ministry where we have overwhelming difficulties? So even the Apostle Paul says all these things about it. Why would he do it? You remember verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And later on he's going to say, to the glory of God. You know, God puts us in a ministry that has overwhelming difficulties, yet we're never defeated. And that's all to His glory. What if He had given us an easy ministry? What if life had been easy? And you were never perplexed. You always knew the answers. You always had the way out. You always had all the resources. There would never be glory for God. It is only when He puts us in a kind of ministry that just pushes us to the corner, but we never get cornered. Pushes us to the limits of our resources, but there always is more resources. Always seems to be destroying us, but we always stand up and walk away. That it is a display of the glory of God and His power in our lives. So one of the paradoxes is this. We have overwhelming difficulties, but we are never destroyed. You read through church history, not only in the Bible, but just through church history, and you recognize how true that was. John Chrysostom was one of the great church fathers in the 400s, late 300s and early 400s. And he was driven from his pulpit where he preached in Constantinople in 405 A.D. And he ran for his life for years through the Armenian wasteland. Wherever he went, they found him, they pursued him, they hunted him down. He moved and moved and moved and moved and moved. They were going to shut that man down. And eventually they caught him. And in 407, September 14 of 407, they got him and they killed him. But you know what he said that day? His last words are these. Glory to God for His power in me. Amen. End of life. Overwhelming difficulties. He was never defeated and he was never destroyed. Even if they killed him, he was never destroyed. and it brought glory to God. So the first paradox is this. We have overwhelming difficulties. I didn't think that was possible in the Christian life. It is in ministry. Yet, here's the wonder of God. We are never destroyed. We are never defeated. Nobody ever corners us, and we move right on. Now, having said that, he said, I got another paradox for you. That's true about the Christian life and Christian ministry. Notice what he says. And you might think he's feeling sorry for himself. He is not. He's trying to bring glory to God and what God has done in his life. He says in verse 10, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, in order that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, in order that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal body. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Not only do we face overwhelming difficulties, yet we are never destroyed. You know what is true about us? We're always dying. In the body. That's physical. Now, if you understand what he says there in verse 10, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death. Well, then death is working in us. You understand what the Apostle Paul is saying. Every time I stand for Jesus Christ, and as I walk my life and walk my ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ, like Jesus Christ, death is always one step behind us. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul said, I stand in jeopardy every day. That is to say, every day could be my last day. Every day could be the last day of my life as they are after me and trying to destroy me and trying to defeat me. I face death every day. He picks up some pictures here by the words he uses of the Roman arena, where they would put people in the arena with some wild beasts. After a while, they did that to Christians. Originally, they did it with the criminals and whatever. But eventually, it became to that point. By the time of Paul, you know, you might be thrown into the arena with all the crowds watching, and then the wild beasts were let loose. He says, you know, every day I wake up, it's like that. There's wild beasts after me. And I carry about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And I identify with Jesus Christ. And his life was a life that was constantly moving towards the cross and towards death. And that's what's true of us. Now, you and I, in a sense, don't seem to face that. But all over the world today, there are believers in Jesus Christ who face that. And it could be that someday you will face that, and someday I will face that, even in our wonderful country. I hope not, and I pray not, but it could very well be someday. There's no guarantee it will not change. All over the world, all the ages, believers in Jesus Christ have died. They've carried about in their body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Paul, you're really feeling sorry for yourself again, aren't you? You're really trying to impress us with how tough you have it. You go to the 11th chapter, he talks about all the beatings and all the stripes and how many times he was shipwrecked and how many times they left him for dead and all that kind of stuff. Paul, you're really trying to impress us with how tough you got it, right? So here's the paradox. Overwhelming difficulties, never destroyed. Always dying. I live a life that, because it's identified with Jesus Christ, always has the potential of death in my body. That's a physical death. Always being delivered to death. However, don't feel sorry about that. You know what's true? Verse 10. In order that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. Verse 11. In order that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. I am always dying. Yet, I am always displaying life. And it's not just any life. I'm always displaying the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that's manifest in and through us. So on one side, it looks like we got it really rough. It's a life that's always leading to death, always delivered to death, always one step away from death. And yet, as that happens to us, it gives God the opportunity to display to the whole world the reality that in us is something that's called the life of Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Jesus Christ was hunted down and hounded and finally killed. You know what happened 3 days later? He rose from the dead. In his body he died, and in his body he rose. And you know what happens to you and me as we identify with Jesus Christ? There's a sense in which we identify with his death. And it becomes a part of our life. And the world is after us, even though we don't feel it as American Christians. You know what is true? As that difficulties come and as that attempt to destroy us comes, we keep standing up and walking on. Now, individuals may die like Chrysostom and Tyndale and some others, but the program of God and the body of Jesus Christ just keeps rising and moving and rising and moving. And like Jesus Christ, who ultimately was destroyed, he ultimately rose from the dead, so we are never put down. We are never totally killed. In fact, we display in our bodies the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And church history shows that again and again. You know how many times they've tried to stop the program of God? You know how many times they've tried to stop the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know how many times they've tried to shut out Christianity in different countries all over the world in different ages? You know how many times? I don't either. But it's a lot. And do you know what? They can't do it. They have never been able, and they never will be able to do it. And they can't do that ultimately to you individually, and they can't do it to the corporate body of Jesus Christ. So we as a group are always being delivered to death, and we as a group are always displaying the life of Jesus Christ. Here's three things that happen because we are always dying. First of all, it gives God the opportunity, according to verse 10 and 11, to show to the whole world His life. The fact that the Apostle Paul kept stepping back and preaching was irrefutable evidence to the world. There was some power that was taking care of him and bringing him back to life and presenting the gospel to him. And the fact that the church of Jesus Christ can never be destroyed is an irrefutable evidence of the life of Jesus Christ is in us. You can't put us down. You can't knock us down. You can't overwhelm us. You can never corner us. So we're always dying, but we're always displaying the life of Jesus Christ. You say, what's so great about that? What's so great about showing to the world the life of Jesus Christ? Notice what he says in verse 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. You know what happens? The world is being allowed to see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ through the body of Jesus Christ. And from faith to faith and from generation to generation, with all the attempts to knock us down, the world has the opportunity to see that this thing called Christ and Christianity is real and it's alive and it's well. And history will show to the world all around us that the church of Jesus Christ is not being defeated. That Jesus Christ is building his church and the gates of hell can never prevail against it. The world is allowed to see through us. What if God had made it easy for us? What if God had made it easy for us and simple? Nothing was tough. Nobody ever had to die for the cause of Jesus Christ. You know what? God would have not had a transparent presentation to the world that you try to knock us down, we just keep on living. Because we have the life not of ourselves, we have the life of Jesus Christ in us. It was the way God chose and knew would be required so that he could show the world the unstoppable life of Jesus Christ. So we are allowed to show. Because of the fact that we're always dying, we're allowed to show the world life. The life not of ourselves, but the life of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. And he quotes from Psalm 116, interestingly enough, a psalm that the psalmist has just escaped from those who were hunting him down, trying to corner him in the wilderness, and they never could corner him. He always snuck away. He always got out of there. He was hemmed in on every side, and he'd sneak out somehow. He was just trying. They were trying to knock him down, but they couldn't destroy him. The psalmist finally said, and is quoted here in verse 13, I believed, and therefore I spoke. You know what the psalmist did in Psalm 116? He said this, when they tried to knock me down and tried to hem me in and try to slow me up, I spoke. I opened my mouth, and I told the people around me what God was doing. And do you know what? Paul says, you know, that's true of all of us as saints, is it not? Just as the psalmist experienced that and therefore spoke, so we as believers in Jesus Christ experience that. And as we experience it, guess what? We speak. We not only show the world the life of Christ, we also speak to the world the life of Christ because we believe. Do you understand that you would think that when pressure would come on us, it would close our mouths? You know what happens historically when pressure comes on true believers in Jesus Christ? They open their mouths. That's when we stand up. That's when we speak more freely. It allows us to show the life of Christ. It allows us to speak the life of Christ. And we do it, as of verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. We continue to speak no matter how much they hound us, no matter how much they try to put us down, because we know this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And if I die today instead of 40 years from now, what is the difference in eternity? I have an eternal hope of being with Christ in heaven, and that allows me to have great boldness and confidence, Paul speaking, so that I not only show the life of Christ, I speak the life of Christ as they try to put me down. And finally, he says in verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. He says we not only show the life of Christ and we not only speak the life of Christ, we open our mouths and say something about it. But then as many people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because of this ministry, guess what? God is honored. God is glorified. We give thanks to Him. There is a greater and growing volume of thanksgiving to God. And we show and we speak and we start to sing, if I can use that word. We start to give glory to God from start to finish. And I don't know if you've ever been in a testimony meeting where people are under great pressure. Those are times that they're not feeling sorry for themselves. Those are times you hear people give testimonies you can't believe. God is glorified in ways you'd never understand. And the more pressure, the more thanksgiving, the more the singing to the glory of God. And Paul says, I just want you to know, we have overwhelming difficulties. That is true. But we're never destroyed. And we're always dying. We're this far away from death for Jesus Christ. But we always get to display the life of Christ. And the more God does that difficulties in our life, the more we display that you can't put us down. And there's a life in us that is only attributable to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but there's one last paradox. He said, overwhelming difficulties, never destroyed. Always dying, but always displaying the life of Jesus Christ. He says, there's one last thing. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. You know what's true, Apostle Paul says? The man you see, the outward man. Now, he's not trying to talk about the old man, the new man, the old nature, new nature, and the inner man, the outer man, all that kind of stuff. He's just talking about the man you see. If you could watch Paul, whether you're a Christian or unsaved, just watched him. His outward man. The man you saw was decaying. It was perishing. Mentally, physically, what you saw was a man going downhill. You say, oh, poor Paul. Poor Paul. We Christians, outward man, it's just decaying. It's taking a toll on us. Read through church history. It wasn't just Paul. Standing for Christ will take a toll on your life and mine. It affects you physically, mentally. It wears you out. Those looking on will say, wow, you have aged. You're not like you used to be. You're not as sharp as you used to be. It takes a toll on you. You can go through church history and see how that's true. The Spurgeons, who died at an early age, just took a toll on him. It finally wiped him out. Couldn't take it. Died. And on it goes. And we all feel sorry and say, no, ministry shouldn't be like that. Make sure you don't get in a ministry where it saps your physical strength. Paul said, that's what's happening to me. And everybody who watches me will tell you that. I'm going down. Not the man I used to be. Don't feel sorry for me, though. Because on one side, I'm decaying. But I want you to know what's really happening. There's an inner man. There's a part that you can't see and nobody can see. And you know what's happening to the part you can't see? It's being renewed day by day. And with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. What you see, you say, I feel sorry for you, Paul. You're not doing as well as you used to be. He says, I wish you could see what's inside. I wish you could see what's really happening to me. I wish you could see what God is doing in my heart and in my life. He's renewing me day by day. There is a constant, continuous, never-ending supply of renewal by my God for my life that you can't see. My wife and I used to drive up to Albion, New York, go into a little trailer park. Lady whose children never came to visit her, as far as I can tell. Husband was dead. Had no friends, no church, no nothing. 5 years it took her to die of cancer, and 5 years she couldn't leave her home. It took her 5 years to die. We'd go there every once in a while. We'd walk in. We'd say, Winifred, how you doing? She'd say, with a twinkle in her eye, the inner man is being renewed every day. That was her answer. You watched her, she was going down. Every time you saw her, it was worse on the outside. But I'll tell you, the twinkle in the eye got better every time. She experienced something. She finally says, I'm experiencing something you have never gone through, Pastor. I'm being renewed on the inner man in a way you have never been renewed on the inner man because you don't face what I face. And she was right. She experienced the grace of God and the comfort of God and the difficulties of her life in a way that I had never, because I had never gone through her difficulties. And a part of me always felt sorry for Winifred, and a part of me always said, I wish I was her. I wish I could just have that daily renewal that she's experiencing, where the grace of God flows into a painful, difficult, lonely life. So she praises God and is being renewed in a way I've never experienced. Do you feel sorry for Winifred, or do you feel sorry for me? I would never choose her life, but I'll tell you, God's daily renewal is there. And he says to us, here's the paradox. The outward man is decaying. It's not getting any better, guys. But the inner man is being renewed every day. He says, that's why we never lose heart. And all of chapter 4 is the glory of the ministry. We just don't quit. And in these verses, he said, it's because of these reasons. The paradox of ministry. Overwhelming difficulties. It isn't an easy life. Never defeated. Never really cornered. Always carrying about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. Yet always displaying to the world the life of Christ, and we speak it and we sing it. Always decaying. This outward guy is just what you see is going downhill. But always being renewed. And on a day-by-day basis, God is doing something in my heart and your heart and our lives that the world can't even see. But it's much more precious. So do you feel sorry for Paul? Because what Paul says is we, and that's you and me. You say, Paul, don't ever give a testimony like that again. Don't ever tell people you're perplexed, you're hard-pressed, you're persecuted, or struck. Don't ever do that, Paul. He said, I have to, because it's reality. But that doesn't mean I'm defeated. It doesn't mean I'm dying. It means I have life of Jesus Christ in me, the glory of God.